Let's begin today talking about the week ahead. And as he is wont to do, Brian Sozzi, laser focused on corporate results. Tonight after the bell, Soz, we're going to get Zoom. And, you know, speaking of Peloton, to me, when I look at the early defining stay-at-home COVID trade, it was buy Peloton, buy Zoom. That's the future of the world. You bike in your, you know, you bike in your garage because you can't go anywhere. You work on your computer, and all you do is, you know, your kids are on school in Zoom. You're doing your meetings on Zoom. And yes, granted, there has been several fits and starts in getting back to normal, but Zoom is still, to me, again, the epicenter of that, you know, COVID-related stay-at-home trade, and trying, I think, like Peloton, to figure out what it's going to be on the other side of this period, which, while it has dragged on longer than what we'd ever hoped, the pandemic is indeed a period within, you know, our history, and it will not be a permanent state of affairs.
Well, Miles, who is to say that I'm not on my Peloton bike right now in my Peloton shorts? I will leave that up to your imagination here on Monday morning. But I think with Zoom, it's a different setup because it's not out there cutting prices. You can use Zoom for free. It's not lowering prices to corporate accounts, not least that I have seen or heard out there. But it will be an interesting report because the stock is down about 12% over the past month. And that doesn't fit too well with the thinking that we've seen COVID cases pick up as the Delta variant spreads. We've seen office returns, return to office push back. Apple, HP, you name it, they have pushed those dates back, yet Zoom shares are down. So if there's any positive setup here for Zoom earnings, is that expectations have been lowered for whatever reason. You would think as those office dates get pushed back because of the Delta variant, that means more people are staying on Zoom, and perhaps those corporate accounts or even individual accounts are realizing that it's time to pay for Zoom if they haven't done so during the pandemic, trade up, become a long-term subscriber to that service. But really, I'm surprised to see the stock as down as much as it is here.
Well, I think speaking of just the stock setup, I mean, it's basically flat over the last year. You look at shares year to date, Zoom shares began the year at about 360. Right now they're trading at about 340. So again, it's down. We can call that flat. I think the setup here for a Zoom is, if you look at since the company came public, and this was a strong performer even before the pandemic, right? This was a stock that was bid up multiple times on its initial debut. And in 2019, there were questions like, oh my gosh, Zoom $100 per share. How is it going to justify that? Well, you know, what, 6 months later, it was $300, $400 stock. So there's certainly been a change in sort of the baseline expectations for Zoom, but it hasn't done a lot over the last year. And I think, you know, Sozzi, maybe the fundamental story around the pricing with Zoom versus a Peloton is completely different. And we don't need to talk too much about the companies themselves, but the trade that they fit into is the same trade. And over the last year, that trade has stopped working. And I think it is a challenging inflection point for investors who are sitting on perhaps sizable, you know, COVID-related gains. I mean, Amazon's a stock that hasn't done a lot over the last 6 months. Netflix is a stock that hasn't done a lot over the last 6 months. You've got people sitting on these gains, huge gains perhaps, from these trades and figuring out what is next. And, you know, it can be challenging to figure out what are the names to rotate into, especially when the overall market goes higher every day. And we all came into August waiting for some big pullback, waiting for some big volatile event. Instead, we got, 10, 11, 12 record highs just in this month. S&P 4500, the street raising their price targets for the index left and right. So I think that's kind of how I think about this result into, a setup for the core of the quote-unquote, and it was not easy, but a quote-unquote easy trade at the beginning of this crisis, this pandemic, and now one that kind of leaves you saying, okay, you know, what do I do here?
Well, I think while you're seeing part of the weakness here, Miles, it's twofold. One, the street likely concerned about corporate accounts. You know, is Zoom still gaining accounts worth more than 100,000 a year? Obviously, that was a big win for them over the year, earlier part of the pandemic. Can the company continue to even see modest growth in that going forward? And number two, Zoom has been aggressively pushing into Zoom phones. Zoom phones is competing with the likes of Cisco. What is it? Essentially, phones inside of people's offices. And that has been called out consistently by Zoom as a key growth area for them. But if we're not going back to office, do we need a Zoom phone? Now, having said all that, I still don't think, when you see the stock down 12% in the month ahead of earnings, I still don't think it reflects the reality that hybrid work, that's the future, not the future of the year. It could be the future going forward for work, for how we get things done. And I just don't think the stock reflects it here at current levels.
All right, we'll see how those results shake out as we get through them. Again, those earnings set to come out after the bell tonight. Something else I know you have your eye on, Brian Sozzi, is what's happening in the semiconductor space. And we have, that's been another interesting trade. It's been a quote-unquote easy trade. Everyone is undersupplied. Everyone needs to build into this huge CapEx cycle. And while we have seen the semis grind higher, it is also at times this year had its challenges in that trade working, I think, quite as consistently, as some had hoped.
Yeah, I think, we've seen this rally here. The Philly Semiconductor Index, that tracks some of the major moves in the semiconductor space. That's tacked on about 2.5% in the past 5 days. We are also seeing some pretty good gains. Micron up about 2% over that stretch. Even Intel up close to 2% over that stretch. And the gains come, I think, after results from HP last week, Dell last week. Those results, by all accounts, they were okay. Not as good as you would have thought, all things considered. But even still, they weren't as bad as a lot of, I think, folks in the street were positioned for them to be. I think it's becoming fairly recognizable that demand for desktops and notebooks remain very strong. And hence, you're seeing the semiconductor index bounce accordingly.
All right, let's change gears here and talk a little bit about the week's big event on Friday morning. I will be on a plane headed west when this happens. So, whatever. Jobs preview. But we can do it with the jobs report. The August jobs report set to come out on Friday. Fed Chair Jay Powell setting the table for kind of how he's thinking about the economy here. Still wants to see a few more strong jobs reports is the basic read through, I think, from his comments last week. 750,000 jobs expected to be added to the economy this year. That's coming off more than 900,000 that we saw in the prior month. Sozzi, I am reminded of sitting here, maybe it was January, February, hearing, we'd have several million month job reports. And granted, the error bands on a 900, 800,000, job gain type data, the error bands on that put a million kind of in play of a sort. But it is notable that, it looks like we might get through this summer, this rehiring boom, without any seven-figure job reports.
Maz, I am shocked you're going to miss Jobs Day. I know it's a very exciting day for you. I hope you have some Wi-Fi in that plane of yours. But yes, we have not. We've been talking about it for months already. We're waiting for that white whale of a report that is a million plus jobs, and it may not come. And let me highlight this one report from the folks at TD. This preview for jobs really caught my attention. They're saying, quote, "We expect this week's report for August to disappoint. We are forecasting a 400,000 rise in payrolls, a strong number by pre-COVID standards, but down sharply from 943,000 in July and well below that consensus we just showed on the screen of 750,000. Caught my attention because it is, in fact, an outlier on the street. But I would argue, Miles, one that is realistic, just given how we've seen just disappointments in various economic data. This morning I tweeted the City Surprise Index. That tracks how macro data is trending versus street estimates. That has not been trending in the right direction. So a lot of other macro disappointing macro reads, consumer confidence, you name it. So why shouldn't this jobs report disappoint? In large part because the Delta variant has impacted mobility.
And I think something we've learned about the labor market, or perhaps relearned, right, because maybe we were not thinking about this quite the right way 6 or 9 months ago, looking towards the summer, there's a lot of friction. It does not matter if you're trying to hire servers or busboys at a restaurant where you kind of just say, hey, go bust the table. It doesn't take a ton of training to do that. It's not easy to onboard anybody at any level in any position. And I think a lot of what we've seen, economists know, is that friction coming up. So again, there was a little bit of this sense of, with seasonal businesses back and they'll just be teeming with kids, teeming with folks who've been out of work who, want to come in and do something. And that hasn't exactly been the case. And even if you do find someone, we could go through all the stories around vacation time, benefits, this, that, the other. The reality is that getting someone to go from one job to another regardless of the industry, regardless of the level, regardless of anything, is a complicated process. And I think a lot of what's held back those big numbers was this idea that there was some frictionless path, you know, to get us back to, I think we're, 5.7 million jobs below total February 2020 employment. There'd be some frictionless, smooth path to get us back there, you know, given demographic trends, so on and so forth. And really, it's kind of gone the other way. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that gap we close, let's say, by the end of this year, when sort of no matter which way you cut it, the Fed will begin tapering its asset purchases at some point, at the latest, it seems like January, February 2022.